Good to have you with us, Adnan. Forehand from Rublev, picked up by Busa. Forehand from Rublev. Busa is still reading all these. Rublev runs around his backhand, goes back to the forehand of Busa. Good cross court from Busa. Down the line, Rublev for long. This crowd wants more.
They're probably a little bit torn between being a bit hot, wanting to go and get a cold drink and some shade.
Is there another match on this court? If there is, they don't want it.
But I think they would quite like this one to go the distance.
They might well do, yes, exactly. Rublev serves, backhand return. Rublev goes back and hits the forehand to the backhand of Busa. Drop shot by Rublev, but Busa will get there. Early pushes his forehand wide.
It's sort of unconventional drop shot from Rublev, but it worked.
Wasn't played with a great deal of confidence.
No.
I mean, in a way, it's a good shot to play because who knows how tired those legs of Busa are.
Well, also, if you go into a fifth set, you want him as tired as possible. So,
correct.
It's another way in which the drop shot is a smart play. But you, as you said, he looked a little lacking in conviction when he hit it. But he got away with it. Back to 15-all.
Which may explain why he hasn't used the drop shot that much in this match. Rublev at 15-all, 3 points from the match. Missed his first serve. His second serve goes to the backhand. Forehand from Rublev. It's like a half volley. Forehand from Busa. Backhand Rublev. Backhand to Busa. Forehand Rublev. Pushing Busa to his backhand side again. A big forehand from Rublev is a winner. It's an in-to-in forehand. He ran round his backhand and hit the ball down the line.
I was a bit concerned halfway through that rally Rublev was going to just get caught into another one of these slightly listless rallies.
But he's got a little bit more conviction about the shots he chooses to go for. 30-15, Rublev serves, backhand return. Forehand from Rublev, forehand topped from Busa, forehand Rublev. Busa won't get to that one. Lovely angle from Rublev. And he looks pretty exhausted as Andre Rublev. But he's played for 3 hours and almost 40 minutes. And now he has two match points, having been 5-2 down in this set. This for a fifth straight game and a place in the semi-finals. Not happy with the ball he was given. He's happy with this one. Rublev at match point. Serves out wide. Forehand return. Forehand from Rublev into out. Defensive backhand from Busa. Short ball for Rublev, who hits the winner. Good angled forehand. And he salutes the crowd. It was a good celebration from Rublev. Real relief, but nothing too triumphal. And a really nice smile from Rublev to Ignacio Busa. For him, this has been something of a breakout match. Really respectful at the way they walked almost arm in arm to the umpire's chair.
Well, Rublev, it's relief as much as anything, isn't it, to get out of that in four sets. A physically, emotionally demanding match, and Busa certainly takes some credit for that. He's played his part, but Rublev, the 11th seed here at this year's Roland Garros, progresses through to the second round.
Yes, 3 hours, 39 minutes, the match duration, which is probably a good hour longer than Rublev would like to have played, but he's still in the tournament. And
well, I mean, he really had to battle, particularly in that fourth set. It could have, we could still be here another hour, so.
Now, does he get 2 days off or three? I think he gets two because he's in the half of the draw that will play the second round on Thursday.
Always confusing when there's a Sunday start.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Anyone who plays tomorrow will only get 1 day off. But anyone who played yesterday will get 2 days off. But today it's a mixture. That applause was for Ignacio Busa, who leaves the court, and we won't get an interview with Andre Rublev. So, yes, we've got the night session match starting on Philippe Chatrier in about 20 minutes' time. Now, Eleanor, we have a choice. Ben Shelton and Daniel Merida are closer to finishing, but Casper Ruud is in trouble. He's 4-love down in the fourth set.
Well, I have a feeling that we should dip into that and at least see what's going on with Casper Ruud, because it's been quite the turnaround.
It has, yes. Ben Shelton is leading 4-3, third set, but game's going with serve. So we will go on to the court, Suzanne Mathieu, as Casper Ruud hits a forehand. Now, we have seen nothing of this match, but just watching half a point, Ruud looks like he is barely moving. He's at 15-40 on his serve. This is Novak Djokovic's section of the draw. It's a very soft serve from Ruud and doesn't really move to the return of serve. Big forehand from Safiulin onto the baseline. And Safiulin takes a 5-love lead.
Ruud didn't even move there at all. I'm wondering if he might... Well, he's obviously in some kind of physical distress.
Well, he's kissing goodbye to this set.
It's possible.
In the hope that he will have a surge of energy in the fifth. Have an awfully big surge of energy, certainly based on what we've just seen.
But he didn't. Yes, I'm not sure. I'd be slightly concerned for him based on
what we've just seen.
What we've just seen, as you said, he didn't even make a move. Didn't even change direction.
Some of us wanted to tip Casper Ruud as our dark horse for this tournament, and.
So were you overruled by the Empress?
I was overruled, yes. Gigi said, no, you can't have him. He's...
Mesdames, Messieurs, le soigneur
est arrivé. They've called for the trainer. They've now called for the trainer. I wonder whether that was a suggestion from Christian Ruud to Casper.
Certainly, it looked a little
concerned.
The trainer's
been called for Safiulin. Safiulin has a problem with his left upper thigh. Well, now, yes, the train's been called for Safiulin. I wonder whether this is a smart move from him. I wonder whether he should have actually thought, no, I'm going to play on with this.
Yes, because what he's done is...
He's encouraged Ruud to believe, actually, I could have a chance in this match.
Yeah, probably.
But, Safiulin lying on the court on a towel. About to have some massage in the sort of top of the thigh hip area,
yeah,
isn't it,
exactly.
Where he's pointing.
It's below the hip, but top of the left thigh. Casper Ruud has been plying himself with water. I suspect he's just struggling with the heat.
But he's taking handfuls of ice and rubbing it all over his face.
This is a really good break for Casper Ruud, I would say. Because he's got 3 minutes now.
Well, he can take on lots of hydration, lots of electrolytes as well. But he's grimacing.
Ruud is grimacing, yes, exactly.
We're simultaneously watching Safiulin get his thigh massaged quite hard and in what looks like a fairly robust way, and it's actually Ruud that's grimacing.
Yeah, you'll have worked out that we're doing this off the monitor because we can't be everywhere. But we are on the Philippe Chatrier court, so we're watching this on the monitor. Casper Ruud is giving himself an impromptu shower out of a water bottle.
Oh, just trying to get his core temperature down.
Yeah, don't blame him. I mean, could he not have gone for a bathroom break while the opponent's having... Or at least got him into a cooler temperature, a cooler room.
Yeah, I'm not sure that... I mean, it's possible that he may not wanted to walk there and back.
That's also possible.
Given how little he moved...
Yeah.
In the couple of points that we saw. Well, Katie Bolzer has a break back point on Erhobo over on court number 8. The American leading 3-2 with that break of serve in the second set after Bolzer won the first.
And Yibing Wu has a break in the third set against Marcus Giron. So we have this bizarre situation that Casper Ruud appears to have absolutely no energy, but the trainer's been called, and the trainer has been called for Safiulin, who clearly has a problem with his upper left thigh, or lower left hip, and remains to be seen what happens from here on.
Well, Ruud's team certainly look concerned, and I think quite rightly. Ruud's just sat there dripping, somewhat with sweat and somewhat because he's poured about 2 litres of water over his head.
Yes, and just to recap, Casper Ruud led 5-3, 40-love in the third set. 3 match points. Lost 5 on the run. Lost his next 2 service games. Well, lost his next 5 service games, actually. And getting towards the end of the injury timeout.
30 seconds remaining.
Yep. 30 seconds remaining.
It'll be interesting to see Ruud's demeanour.
It will be.
And how much he's moving.
Yes.
Once they do get back out there.
And does he make an effort in this next game, or does he just get himself into a position where he is ready for the fifth set? Right, Safiulin is off his back, on his feet.
They have a special mat now
when players need treatment on the clay court. They just put a towel down. On a clay court, I'm not surprised.
I think that would be the end of the towel. I think we'd have to retire it.
I suspect you'd have to retire the towel. Also, it's a bit more comfortable, I'd say, as well. Right.
Marcus is clambering over me. Do you think that's our signal?
I've long since given up trying to read Marcus' signals. Right.
Did you read that one okay?
I read that one okay. Yes, exactly. Safiulin serving for the fourth set. Yes, he thinks he served an ace, but actually doesn't think he served an ace. It just wasn't a call. Second serve. Forehand from Ruud is a clean winner. Oh, gosh, this is going to be fascinating.
The atmosphere is very odd, isn't it?
It is very odd atmosphere.
Really,
yes.
I think the crowd don't know what's going on.
No, and they don't know what to think. They don't know who to cheer for. Safiulin serves. Very slow. Backhand from Ruud into the net.
Very strange, isn't it?
It is, yes. Both players injured.
Well, we're assuming Ruud's injured.
Well, I mean, it may just be heat exhaustion.
Yeah.
It's an ace from Safiulin. It's a very clever serve, very soft, but just came around the side of the ball, sent it out wide.
But again, Ruud moved about half a millimetre towards that.
Oh, as much as that. Forehand from Ruud up the middle of the court. Forehand from Safiulin off the frame and long. Interesting, Ruud made the effort to move for that one. I think the longest rally that we've seen so far is 3 strokes. This is clay. 5-love, 30-all. But both players suffering. Safiulin serves, forehand return. Forehand from Safiulin up the middle of the court. Backhand from Ruud up the middle of the court. This is a long rally now, backhand Ruud. Backhand from Safiulin is a drop shot, and Ruud doesn't even attempt to go for it. And this is set point to take this bizarre match into a fifth.
Well, Ruud's almost among the spectators at the moment. That drop shot, he just watched it land. Didn't move towards it, didn't even move his head towards it.
But Safiulin is, and they're not getting into triple figures in kilometres. Forehand from Ruud up the middle of the court. Forehand from Safiulin is a winner. And both players amble, trudge to the chairs. I'm just keeping an eye on both of them. The match will go on. They both think they can win it. Whereas, no, Safiulin's going to take a bathroom break now. He's packing up his little bag. It's very much the way of the world now. Players come out with 2 bags. Big one for the rackets and all their equipment, and a small one for the change of clothing.
Well, Gigi and Marcus are moving in, and they've got several bags each.
Got one. It's a bit harsh. I've got one.
I meant Marcus.
And amid all that drama, I didn't tell you that Ben Shelton won.
Well, both players are going off, so Marcus and I are going to have a little bit of
break sets.
Do you want to
take over from us then?
I think it's, unless you want to stay for the fifth set, I think it's probably a good time to move.
I was quite happy to, but Eleanor has just overruled me.
Right, we are moving then. We're shuffling things round.
Unless you think you're...
Well, no, we'll do the fifth of Ruud, and then we will go to Monfils.
Okay.
We're keeping an eye on Monfils and the...
Enjoy.
...initial bit. Wow. It didn't seem that enjoyable, did it?
just confusing and slightly muddling and heat resistant. How are you?
My button is on.
Yeah, the button was on. I wondered why you were pausing.
I'm all set to go.
And you have your... Oh, no, you don't have your glasses. Where are they?
That's a good point, actually. And they're here. I've got both pairs of sunglasses, and not that I need the other glasses, but just occasionally.
Is that why you came back to look for them today?
Well, I did take about 5 hours and thought, no, I must have left them up here.
5 hours to find your way back.
Well, I went to about four other places. Well, I must have left them where I had lunch or where I was having a cup of coffee. No, and no one bothered to text Dan and say they're here.
Well, we thought, because you say you don't need them.
Well, that's true.
So,
hang on, what's Stefan's doing something.
You know, I think what we will do, once Stefan's untangled you, Stefan, shall we hear a little bit of... Who should we hear from? Let me have a look at your list.
Shall well, I went to the Svitolina press conference.
Well, let's hear from Svitolina, and then you can sort of add in the bits off the back.
Do you think he's got my question in this?
Oh, you asked...
I did ask.
You've gone rogue and started asking questions. Oh, my word. Did you keep Marcus's question? Was that going to be a little surprise, wasn't it? Right, let's hear from... There are no players currently on court. Simone Mathieu both have gone off after a 6-love Safiulin set. Guillaume Fils and Hugo Gaston, they'll come out at some point, but they haven't started yet. Lucia Parks, Leila Fernandez is on. So we'll keep you across everything. This is the night session, but let's start. We've got a lot of people we're going to be hearing from through the course of the evening. We're going to hear from Iga Świątek a little bit later, but let's start with Alina Svitolina, who had to come from a set down.
Yeah, it was definitely a tough one. I mean, I didn't expect any other kind of match. Had a couple of big battles against Anna, of course, two losses against her, but yeah, today for me it was like just important to follow my game plan, to bring the best fight that I can, and yeah, I'm just really happy the way that the match ended up with a win for me in the tough battle and tie break.
Alina, when you've lost two in a row to a player, what do you take from those losses? Do you try to shut them out? Can you explain a little bit more about the mindset of someone who's, you know, I know it's not like 10-0 or anything like that, but how does that work?
Yeah, luckily it's not 10-0. Well, I really sat down with my coach and, you know, talked about things that I can improve for the upcoming match. The things that I did well, still, you know, in Madrid it was really bad performance from my side. She played unbelievable, yeah, I think just find the tactically the things that that's gonna work. I still beat her two times, so I could you know, gave me the confidence that I could beat her. I beat her here as well. Yeah, it's just, you know, about this the tactical things that we really focused on, and you know, bringing the fight, because when player is playing great against you, you need to be locked in, still, you know, following your game plan, and you know, find the ways to win. I think I played still a good tennis today, and yeah, she was sometimes playing great, as like when in the third set it was 4-5, I think she won 8 points in a row. I didn't do anything wrong in that moment, but she was just unbelievable. So you just have to put your head down and keep working and finding the small opportunities to dictate.
Listen, you've had an amazing career. You've had to deal with so much off the court as well. Do you like the fact that a lot of people are considering you as a genuine possible champion at the end of the fortnight? Does that start to well in your mind at this stage, or are you able to dismiss it and just focus on the next steps in what's likely to be a very long and hot fortnight?
No, I'm not thinking too much. I think people are talking too much about it. I think, okay, I'm in a good form, but I think there are still players who are more favorites than me. I think at least 5 players who are, you know, still the... bigger, they have bigger chances to win this tournament. So I'm not thinking too much about this at all. I'm just really focused on, firstly, I was really focused on the first round because it was a big challenge for me, and was not sure I would be in the second round. So yeah, I just put the hard work in. As always, you know, focus on the recovery, focus on the game plan that I have to execute for my next round. And when you are playing well, when you are at the, you know, top of kind of like in the ranking, everybody is playing free against you. And I think like the example of Anna or other players, you know, they have nothing to lose, so they bring their best game. And when you get into this position, that's a dangerous position to be, and you need to be really even more kind of focused on the work that you have to do on the court to beat those players, because they are playing the matches of their lives.
Radio Roland Garros.
Prenez vos places, s'il vous plaît. Merci.
It certainly is. We are playing. We're about to resume on court. Simone Mathieu. We just heard from Alina Svitolina. Her husband is about to be introduced out onto Philippe Chatrier. So we thought, Marcus, the best plan would be if we see this through, because it's so unusual how things stand. And then we'll put all our eyes and focus on Gaël Monfils.
It's a good plan, Gigi. And it's a fascinating scenario as this match resumes between Casper Ruud, two-time finalist at Roland Garros, Roman Safiulin. Ruud taking the first set 6-2, winning the second in a tiebreak by 7-5. Seemed to be plain sailing for him. He had three match points. But 5-3 in the third, couldn't take them, lost the set, and then collapsed in the fourth, despite the fact that Safiulin had to have lengthy treatment when leading 5-love. He closed it out to love. Both players have been off court since then. Which of them will be able to recover the quicker, I wonder? It's really interesting. And it's Casper Ruud who is serving. And he's serving at love 15. Bright orange shorts. White top, white cap, white socks, and white shoes with an orange trim. So he's neatly patterned. And normally he's very calm and composed on the clay court in particular, but these grueling conditions have got to him. You can't blame him. It is brutal out there. Running forehand, and he hardly gets any power behind it.
And Safiulin, he just has that very casual slap of the ball, and two of those points have been won with exactly that off the forehand side of Safiulin. 3 hours 24, he's stroking that ball around, and as you say, it's very difficult for Ruud to generate anything right now.
Mind you, I have to say that Safiulin looks like the living dead at the far end as he waited for that serve to come into play. And this time, there is sufficient energy in the legs of the Norwegian to come forward and put away a forehand winner into the open court.
I mean, the eyes of Ruud, if you could see the eye, they are just staring. They're like sort of holes. There's no... I mean, he looks like... They both look like the living dead if we're on that front. It's just... Wow, I mean, look, we've had 4 hours, 18, Tanasi Kokkinakis against Terence Atman. We saw Busset really struggling, the Peruvian, with Andre Rublev coming through. And now Casper Ruud, with all his experience, looks a broken man.
Well, he's relieved there, because the return from Safiulin is beyond the baseline. Free point for Ruud, and we're getting close-ups of the Norwegians' camp, and everybody looks understandably anxious watching on from the sides. 30 all. That's a good serve from Ruud onto the backhand wing of Safiulin, who couldn't get the ball back into play.
Yeah, lovely serve. Ruud went to Geneva after the final of Rome. A lot of people said, why has he gone to Geneva? A, he likes going, likes playing there. And he said, look, I was on a roll and I was full of confidence, so why not?
Well, he's got a roll with the punches here. 40-30, serving out wide to the backhand, misses with the first serve. Crowd lapping it up. They've got to stay fit. I mean, it's quite grueling just sitting there for however many hours. Second serve, kicks up to the backhand. Cross court on that double-handed wing from Casper Ruud, and has got sufficient power to force the error, and he's got his name on the board in this set, which he didn't manage to do in the last, and maybe the little breather has just given him sufficient energy to get over the line.
I mean, how important could that first game be, that hole? He's asking the ball boy for more water. He's got it on the board, but there's the pickle juice. In it goes. So all is not. He didn't down the whole thing, I should say. Just a couple of sips.
Well, this match is being staged on Court Simone Mathieu. There's a decent crowd inside it. It's by no means full. We're, of course, overlooking Philippe Chatrier, where later we'll bring you the best moments, I'm sure, of the all-French clash between Gael Monfils and a man who hasn't won for a very long time on the main tour, Hugo Gaston. But we can't tear our eyes away from this bruising contest. Served down the middle of the court from Sakhalin, then he plays a double-hander and watches and just steps out of the way as Ruud goes long with his forehand.
It's just the hollow look in the eyes of Casper Ruud. I mean, the world of pain that he must be in right now. Safiulin, you don't get that much emotion. You don't get anything, really.
No, you don't. Well, if he wanted to show any emotion, he wouldn't be able to. And that's a good return to the feet of Safiulin, who stepped back and tried to play an inside-in forehand, but the ball was on top of him too quickly, and he nets, and it's 15-all. And I was going to say, these two both look like the majority of the Radio Roland Garros team on the Friday morning after our team dinner.
I think speak for yourself. Stefan doesn't drink, so you can't put Stefan in it.
I'm thinking more of Cambers and Bowers.
Yeah.
Amiak.
Courtney.
Oh, Courtney.
He then goes to an after party.
He does, having been to a pre-party. 30-15. Safiulin's got an interesting outfit on. Blue shorts, slice backhand, little drop shot. Ruud's going to get there, plays it deep. Up goes a high defensive lob from Safiulin, but that was going long from the moment he made contact. Plenty of support for Casper Ruud. Safiulin, blue shorts, a multicoloured top, really, of blue and pale blue and white. I like his shoes, though. Purple-ish?
Ish. Fuchsia.
Miss hit forehand, chance for Ruud to attack here, and he does just that. High ball. But he powered it away on his forehand wing, and having held at the start of this set, he's now got a break point. Very similar in age terms, these two. Casper's 27, Safiulin 28. I think he feels like he's 128 at the moment, serving to the backhand. Cautious return, big forehand from Safiulin, big enough to force the error off Ruud, who was having to race across his baseline.
Yeah, good use of the court there. The wide serve, it opened up the inside in, so leathered the forehand deep, and it was just a little bit too much for Ruud to get there and get in position for.
Safiulin's been as high as 36 in the world. That was back in January of 2024. Serving now to the backhand. Ruud returning very deep, almost inside the crowd. And then an error off the backhand wing from Safiulin, who smacks his racket in frustration after seeing the ball flick off the top of the tape and land wide. Another break point chance for Ruud.
That's quite rare emotion for the Russian.
Yeah, and I think a signal that he knows how significant it would be should he be broken here. Serves to the forehand. There was absolutely nothing on the... Well, there was nothing on the serve, and it's a completely mishit return. And that's what Ruud thinks of it. How's your Norwegian?
Yeah, not great. Not great.
I mean, with all due respect, it was a powder puff serve, but a completely mishit forehand return. Deuce again. That's a better return from Ruud, who's now got a mid-court ball, plays it to the forehand. Oh, that was a good forehand from Safiulin. Suddenly, he injected a little more power to win the point and go to game point.
I think together with the heat, the physical exhaustion, I think their brains are addled. We saw this with Antman and Kokkinakis. I mean, you just can't think straight at a certain point. That little shifty look from Safiulin, of course, saying Ruud's still standing. Yes, he is.
Yeah, please fall over.
game point. Oh, well, it's a good serve. And Casper really was, well, he had no energy. He just stuck out his racket in hope. He was holding it like a saucepan. The ball ballooned up in the air, landed long. And after a couple of breakpoint opportunities, Ruud has to accept that it's one game all after 3 hours and 31 minutes.
It's weird, the shift. We had a burst of energy from Ruud. Then Ruud's tank just emptied in seconds. Safiulin found some energy. He finished off that game. I mean, there is sort of no rhyme or reason to what's playing out.
They're warming up below us. I love the expression, warming up on a day like this. I mean, they're getting even hotter down below us before the match even starts. Backhand from Safiulin, slightly awkward-looking backhand, but it's sufficient to force another unforced error off the Ruud racket, and he's muttering to himself again.
I mean, all the box saying is, come on, come on, come on. Mm. I mean, he's saying there's not a lot left to come on with.
So the Norwegian for come on is come on. That's good.
Yeah. Not sure he's Norwegian. Wow. So that's the come on.
Okay. Love 15, a lunging return off balance from Safiulin. Couldn't get that one back into play. Nice free point for the Norwegian.
Dad Christian looks very nervous. Yeah. He's sort of just staring down at his feet largely, not saying anything. Must be awful when you feel physically that awful.
1-all, 15-all, final set. Safiulin serves to the backhand. I beg your pardon. Ruud serves to the backhand, and the return is long.
We saw Jannik Sinner throwing up in Rome. I mean, heat just can do some strange things. And exhaustion. Sinner's more exhaustion in Rome.
30-15, Ruud is ready again. He's serving to the backhand. He's missing, of course. The wise old adage in slams is, if you want to go a long way, if you fancy your chances of winning it, conserve as much energy as possible in the early stages. Well, that's not happening as far as Casper's concerned at the moment. Now he plays the inside-in forehand and he catches the line. That's better.
Tell that to Tanasi Kokkinakis. I'm not sure how or if he can recover from 4 hours 18 in the first round.
I believe that's his 16th five-setter.
Doesn't surprise me.
And it's the ninth time that he's won one, which is impressive. But yeah, is he going to be able to carry on?
He's toast for the second round.
Burnt toast. Chip return from Safiulin. That's going to be hammered away by Casper Ruud, who does precisely that and holds again. So we're on serve after three games of the final set. Ruud can sit down, get the ice towel round his neck again and ponder life.
See that Katie Bolt has split sets now with Akasha Ohobo, who won the Roland Garros USTA Wildcard Challenge. It's quite a lengthy title, but she did wonderfully well to come through and take that. Now she's taking her opportunities. That's 1 hour 40. Ekaterina Alexandrova, wonderful year last year. She makes the top 10. She's an alternate in Riyadh at the Tour Finals. So top 10 for the first time in her career. Since then, absolutely nothing. Injured start of the year and just cannot buy herself a win at the moment. She's a set and a breakdown to Camilla Osorio.
Well, I presume that Alex de Minaur is watching Katie Bolter, and we started our coverage today, 11 o'clock local time, as we do every day here on Radio Roland Garros, with de Minaur up against the British qualifier Toby Samuel, playing his first main draw match, and gave a good account of himself early on. One break decided the first set. Samuel had a great opportunity to go 3-love up in the second. Couldn't take it, and from that moment onwards, the end result was nigh on inevitable. And afterwards, he did say that he's learned a lot. Mostly that when you come up against somebody like Alex de Minaur, Gigi, it's just extraordinary how many balls come back into play.
That's sort of lesson 101 with Alex de Minaur, isn't it? It's going to come back.
It is. Now, who's going to come back and win this fascinating match? Fascinating for all sorts of reasons, not all of them good ones. Another close-up of Safiulin, who really does look as, like he's been torn apart. But he's still standing, and he's serving now to the Ruud backhand. Flattens out his backhand there to Safiulin, and then Ruud steps in with a beautiful, perfectly timed winner.
Wow. Perfectly placed by Casper. We should give a shout out to the 3 hours 11 minutes court for Francisco Cerúndolo and Botik van der Sandslup, because they are only in the fourth set at 3-all after 3 hours 11.
Don't laugh. We sound too mean. Now, an opening perhaps for Ruud at love 30, but he puts his forehand return into the net. Another grimace from Sapulin.
He's lots of grimacing when he faces us, doesn't
yes.
he?
Yes, yeah.
Well, faces his box as well. His the lady in his box, partner, sister, relative. It's funny, all quite amusing.
Yeah, I think she likes him to suffer. Big grin on her face.
Yeah, this is it. Oh, you're suffering now, are you? I see.
We should find out a bit more about that young lady. Safilin's ready again. He looks up, tall man, angular serve. It's a good, well-placed deep serve. And then he comes forward and nets his plus one. Does the Russian slumps his shoulders again. Potentially very costly, unforced error that gives Casper Ruud two breakpoint opportunities.
Camilla Rakhimova has come through in nearly 3 hours, 6-4 in the third against Jacqueline Christian.
Big moment here, Ruud knows it. Wait, bounces up and down, returns on the forehand, but he hooks that ball across court and wide.
Ooh, second time he's done that from that side. Slashed at that forehand, misses. I mean, Dad Christian can barely look. He's looking up at the sky, he's looking to the left, he's just not looking at his son. It must be so difficult to be a parent anyway, but he's the parent coach.
Yeah. Yeah, powerless at moments like this. His son still has another break point here.
He can't
do anything with that serve, which skidded down the middle of the court. That's impressive from Sapulin. And we talked about the grimaces, but he just gave himself a little come on there, another little twitch, but a positive twitch on that occasion. Misses into the sidelines with the first serve. You can hear the slip sliding of a old boy, I think it was. Forehand return, low across court from Ruud, who then goes onto his double hander. Now he's going to play a forehand with lots of loop, which just tied Sapulin up in knots a little bit, but the point continues. Running forehand, cross court from Ruud, it's a winner. I'm not sure it would always be a winner, but when your opponent can hardly move, it's a bit easier to hit a winner.
Yeah, it was really good. I totally agree. If that had been at the beginning of the match, then he would have got there. But at this stage, with the energy levels as they are, Ruud will take it.
And I think he'll take real encouragement from that as well. Clear evidence that his opponent is teetering right on the brink in physical terms. So, another breakpoint chance for Casper Ruud. Making sure he gets the ball back into play. No, he doesn't get the ball back into play. There was loop on the forehand, but it dropped just beyond the baseline.
3 hours, 39 minutes. Keep moving. With another grimace.
We've got to get a montage of these grimaces. Serve is just long. We could get a montage of the grimaces and play it to some Chris Bowers commentary. Return from Ruud is a good one. Now he's having to race across his baseline. Slices his backhand cross-court and then watches as Sapulin nets. And here's another break point in this fourth game of the fifth set. Coming up to 20-9 in the evening on this magnificent Monday. Magnificent in terms of the atmosphere and the excitement. But the heat is not helping the players, it's not helping anybody. But it's a fact of life. You've got to get on with it. It's the same for both of you. Second serve. Backhand return from Ruud through the middle of the court. Big forehand from Sapulin. Ruud gets there cross court. Little drop shot from Sapulin. Rude's going to get to that, but he could be stranded at the net. No, he's not. Sapulin wasn't able to pass him. Ruud read where he was going, stepped across and put a forehand volley into the open court, and he's got the break.
But boy, did that take it out of him. They both went for everything, up for the drop shots, running around left to right, back to front. He's got the break. His shoulders are heaving with the oxygen that he's drawing in.
Sapulin has gone back to his chair. He's changing his racket. He's going to have another drink, understandably. But that could be the hammer blow. And And the support for Casper Ruud, very evident. Seffelin took a huge gulp of water and he hasn't swallowed it yet as he goes back to his baseline. He's swilling it around as though he's going to gargle. But now he's got to settle and try and break back. Ruud serves to his backhand and the return is long.
Serving with new balls, Casper Ruud.
Fans continue to flutter in the crowd. Some more elaborate than others. There's a lady in the front row with a very stylish fan. You see a lot of people just flapping themselves with a newspaper or whatever they can get their hands on.
Does she have electric one or is it a paper one?
I think it's a paper one, but it looks like a really sort of elegantly made paper one. Backhand return from Seffelin. Back goes Ruud to play the off forehand. Then he's onto his double hander with great depth. Forced a miss hit. And then actually he got tucked up a little bit as both players started to come to the net. But it's Seffelin who makes the mistake first. And it was a hard point to describe because it wasn't of the highest quality, shall we say.
It was just messy. It was a bad bounce off the clays. The ball bounced into the body of Ruud. He did whatever he could to get out of the way of it. It drops short. And just couldn't get there, Seffelin, in time and get set to get it back over.
Katie Bolter, one game all in the deciding set, serving at 40 love on court 8. A low return on the forehand wing from Seffelin, and Ruud's in the perfect position just to carve the ball back across court into the open space. He races to 40 love, and there were more protestations from the Russian end of the court. Little pause from the Norwegian. Now he's ready. Up goes the ball. Good serve. Deep serve. The return is wide. And Ruud consolidates the break and goes to sit down. He hopes perhaps for the last time, leading 4-1 in the fifth.
Sits down very quickly. Cap comes off. He'll start going through the process. A little bit of pickle juice first, and then he'll take in some more liquid. So Botik van der Sandschulp did hold for 4-3 on serve in the fourth. It's a set that the Dutchman needs to win to take that into a fifth against Francisco Cerúndolo, the 25th seed. But 3 hours 19 on court number 4. Where else? We've got Zakharova Mukova. They are warming up. Gaston Monfils, that's a game apiece. As Marcus touched on, Hugo Gaston looking for his first tour level win this year, and it goes back further than that. And Diana Schneider has a break. She had a break, broken back, and now she's got a point to regain the break and go 4-2 up on Renata Zarazua.
And Casper Ruud has a big bottle of water that he's pouring over his head, an impromptu shower. Seffelin, by contrast, is leaning forward, taking the odd slug of water, wondering what else life might throw at him today. Currently ranked at 141 in the world. Made the quarterfinals at Wimbledon back in 2023. I think that's a fact that can easily be forgotten.
Had you forgotten it?
Well, I had. I'll be absolutely honest. Had you?
Yes, I had.
Yes. And that's no disrespect to Seffelin. Casper Ruud, I mentioned, has been as high as 2 in the world. He's currently at 16. We know what he's done here in the past with a couple of appearances in the final. And also gone very deep at the US Open, of course. And looks as though he's in prime position to make it through after a lot of effort. Sweat and tears to the second round, and there's a terrible start to this next game for Seffelin. It's a double fault.
Yeah, body language of Roman Seffelin is not great right now.
One four, love 15. Serving to the Ruud backhand, lofted return. And, well, just when you think Seffelin's got nothing left to offer, he comes up with an elegant, in the circumstances, clean winner off his forehand.
And Ruud thinking, I'm not even going to bother exerting energy on that because of the situation I'm in.
And that's pretty good game management, it has to be said at this stage. Wait for your opportunities, don't exhaust yourself. You're now 4-1 up, and Seffelin trying to go across court with his double hander. He's missed, he had a little look at the line, having heard the call, decides not to query it. And there is no point because it was missing the mark. And it's 15-30.
He's having a word with himself, isn't he, Seffelin?
He is. He's saying, how on earth have they forgotten that I made the quarters at Wimbledon 3 years ago?
He's so distracted by it, he just missed that first serve.
Ballooned off the top of the net. The second serve is right on the service line, and then he hammers a backhand to the forehand wing of Ruud. He had to stretch, so too did Ruud, both having to use up more energy than they'd like at this stage, and eventually the point ends with a miss hit off the forehand wing of the Norwegian.
Lovely sliding forehand from Safiulin to keep the point alive. And Ruud is now again grasping at as much oxygen as he can possibly get.
I mean, it does look as though Safiulin has just run four marathons in a deep sea diving outfit. Oh, I thought that was going to be an ace for him. But you heard the call. It missed the line, the right part of the line. Second serve is deep. Ruud all the way back again. Gets it back into play, then slices on his backhand wing. Short ball for Safiulin to attack and put away.
This feels like a real, I'm going to conserve some energy game from Casper Ruud.
Yeah.
If he can get it, he'll get it. If not, he'll just let it go.
I think that's the right thing to do as well. He hopefully, from his point of view, has done the hard work by getting one break. Obviously, another one here would be fantastic. But there is no point exhausting yourself at this stage when you're in the ascendancy after 3 hours and 47 minutes. So 1-4, 40-30, Safiulin serves to the forehand. Deepish return. Ruud's there with an off forehand. Oh, yes!
Ooh. That was right in the wheelhouse of the Norwegian.
Looks at his racket almost in surprise.
That was a beauty.
Stepped in and absolutely pummeled that into the backhand corner of his opponent, who serves again to the forehand. And well, Ruud tries to repeat the trick with another extravagant forehand, but he nets the return. Katie Bolter has a chance to get the break in the deciding set, with Wahoba serving at 1-2 and 15-40. Safiulin out wide to the backhand, returns cross court down the line on the backhand wing from Safiulin, and Ruud then goes long.
So Ruud's having a little go up at his box because he's that end. Safiulin sort of nods towards his, as if, right, just one step at a time. That's the first thing I had to do.
We do need to just mention once again that Casper Ruud had three match points at 5-3 in the third set. He could have made this afternoon stroke, early evening, an awful lot more comfortable than it's turned out to be. 4-2 now in the fifth, and well, it was a late call. Safiulin's gone forward to have a look. He's convinced the call's right, but the umpire's coming down and confirms that the call was right. The serve was just wide.
As Katie Bolter gets the break for 3-1 in the third.
Good news for the Brits. They haven't got too many players to cheer at Roland Garros this year. Although Fran Jones is still going strong after a fantastic victory yesterday. Safiulin goes long off the backhand wing. First point of the seventh game, where the fifth set goes to Ruud. Emma Raducanu lost, of course. Toby Samuel lost today.
Jacob Fernley's tomorrow in action. Still got Cam Norrie to come, but Cam's a wee bit injured at the moment.
Yeah. Got a rib injury, hasn't he? Which, well, hopefully won't affect him too much. It's a good deep serve, and the return sails long. Ruud just seems to be finding a little bit extra just when he needs it.
Definitely a match we will go to if it goes to a fifth late on, is this one on court four, because it's 3 hours 25 for four all in the fourth, with every possibility it could go the distance.
Ruud at 30 love, ace down the middle. Well, I say an ace down service winner, because it actually flew off the racket of Safiulin. He was never going to get it back into play. 190 k's. As Billy Joel used to sing, don't forget your second wind. And that's what Ruud seems to be getting at the moment. And of course, as you move towards victory, understandably, you just feel a little extra pep and belief. Second serve here to the Safiulin backhand. He nets the return. And Casper Ruud is now potentially just one game away from a place in round two.
He is closing in the Norwegian. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say in his interview on court afterwards.
He's got the energy to say anything.
I think the greatest thing for Tanasi Kokkinakis, because the court it was on, they don't do an interview. So he could lie flat on the clay and then sort of crawl off court. Alicia Parks, 3-2 with a break on Leila Fernandez. Fernandez, the seeded player there at 24. Schneider was back on serve with Renata Zarazua. Zarazua points 4-4. That's such a satisfying name to say, isn't it, Zarazua?
And we've had our first break on Chatrier.
Hugo Gaston, I mean, he's not going to... I know he's also French, but I'm not sure how well that's going to go down with the crowd. Right. Oh, Casper, who thought about pouring on his head, then realised he had to drink it first before he then poured it on his head.
He does make that look like fun, the way he's pouring that cold water right on top of his head and lets it dribble down his back as well. So Hugo Gaston, who hasn't won a Grand Slam match in a year, has got the first break against Gael Monfils. 3-1, 30 love. Of course, we'll turn our attention to that shortly.
Francisco Cerundolo now serving at 5-4 for the match in the 3-hour 28 encounter on court 4 against Botik van der Sandschlup.
Intrigued to see how Karolina Muchova gets on. Seeded 10 at the championships, just underway, and such a good player when fit, of course. That's a big thumping forehand winner from Safulin. If he's going to go down, it looks as though he'll go down fighting.
Must ask the question of Casper Ruud, because as I say, they're both a little bit addled in the mind and body.
Had to wait for that one, it jumped up, but he clubbed a very effective off forehand winner. And then misses with his first serve. Three bounces of the ball, and then four more. Oh, and then an awful second serve.
Went big, he went loopy, he went wild and wide.
We're getting a cutaway on quite a regular basis of his coach, and I will have to put my glasses on actually to read his full name out. Looks a bit like Rafael Nadal, that's what I will say about the coach.
That's because you haven't got your glasses on.
Brilliant return, stretching on the forehand wing there, Ruud. He was so far behind his baseline, had plenty of time to see where the ball was going, but it made the shot that little bit harder. He did the job. Carl Adrian Ringdal Nurstenes.
That's the name. It sounded like a lot of words.
Yes. I just refer to him as Carl.
Not necessarily a name.
Carl will do, but don't you think there's a bit of the rapper about him?
No. Oh. Have a look at him with your glasses on this time.
Slice on the backhand from Ruud, driven down the middle of the court by Safulin, who then has a half volley that leads to a high lob from Ruud. In comes Safulin. Ruud was aware of that and couldn't do anything about it. He nets. Now, I am going to insist as we get another cutaway.
Absolutely
Stefan,
not.
Does Carl the coach look a bit like Rafael Nadal?
Look at they're firmly
What's
shaking
wrong with
his...
you two?
We don't need glasses.
I need something more than glasses in that case. He definitely has a touch of the Raffers.
No.
The T-shirt says Stefan, yeah. White cap. Rafa used to wear one of those. First serve, long. From Safulin. Serving to stay in the match at 2-5. Second serve to the forehand. Flat cross court from Casper Ruud. Now slice on the backhand wing from Safulin. Short ball for Ruud. He puts it away, goes back behind his opponent. And, well, I don't know exactly how many minutes after those three match points he had in the third set, but quite a considerable time after that, he's got another one.
3 hours 55 on the match clock as things stand. One more point, we'll get him across the finish line, the former finalist here.
It'll be very interesting to watch the reaction of both men and the conclusion of this contest. Will it come now? Backhand return from Casper Ruud, and Safulin is wide, and Ruud has done it. But goodness me, he was pushed. He looked down and out at one stage. Lost the fourth set, 6-love. There's a nice little exchange at the net.
between two exhausted warriors who traded blows for 3 hours and 56 minutes. And in the end, it is Casper Ruud, a two-time finalist at Roland Garros, who has gone through 6-2 in the fifth.
Wow. He does raise his arms aloft. He appreciates the crowd, but he's got just really hollow eyes and he's puffing at his cheek. Dad Christian looks like the most relieved person within this stadium. He is going to be speaking to the crowd. It'll be interesting to hear how he is feeling, because boy, did he put in a shift. 4 hours, 4 minutes shy of 4 hours on court.
Generous round of applause for Roman Safelin, fully deserved, because he did what he could. He was getting a whole lot of treatment in a pretty intricate area towards the end of the set. He won 6-love, so he couldn't fully enjoy the fact that he was on top at that stage. Both players went off court at the end of the fourth set, and I think we can now say with a degree of positivity that it was Ruud who was able to regroup the better and effectively control the decider.
Yeah, absolutely. Ruud's remembering to put the watch on contractually, get that on, take as much time as he can, just sat down. But boy, I've never seen Ruud look like that. I mean, shaking, exhausted, barely moving. They were very lucky that they got to the end of that set and he had the set and he could go and take the break, because that really changed everything.
Yeah, well, it's taken him quite a while just to put the watch on, and now, not that he looks particularly pleased about it, he's going to do an on-court interview.
La traduction va s'afficher sur les écrans. Casper, congratulations. What a battle. I will be very quick. How are you? How do you feel now?
Well, a mix of everything. Tired, but of course happy. I feel, humble. I want to thank the crowd for pushing me. Thank you. I was close to being on the way home, honestly. And in the end of the third and fourth set, I felt quite horrible and dizzy and not... was really hard to see the ball. I think my body temperature was too high. I was not able to cool it down with the temperature here today. So luckily, I was able to just put myself, give myself some time to breathe in the fourth set, see if I can kind of calm down, let the cramps, let the high temperature kind of ease off. And luckily, I was able to. And it was a really tough match.
It was so hard for you sometimes. It was hard for us to look at you like this sometimes. How did you manage to stay on the court? Not to say, okay, I quit and I will be back next year.
Yeah, you never know what can happen. I think towards the end also Roman was maybe also feeling a bit something with a hip and injured and pain and these things. So I try to tell myself if I think it's tough, maybe he also finds it quite difficult. So just try, just give yourself a chance. I don't want to pull out and go home. I prefer to lose 6-0 in the fifth if that's the case. So I just try to hang in there, and luckily today that was enough.
What are the plans for tonight? A great shower and a good night's sleep, maybe?
Yeah, I think a very, very cold shower or an ice bath, and try to cool down and enjoy some dinner and have a good night's sleep and see how I wake up tomorrow. I mean, it's been a while since I experienced something like this on the court, so I will use tomorrow as well as I can to recover and, new match and new opportunities again on Wednesday. So I will do everything I can to be back and ready, and looking forward to it already.
It was very impressive for all
Thank
of
you.
Us.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations, Casper. Casper Ruud, mesdames et messieurs.
I think you should go on the practice court for a couple of hours now and work on his fitness.
The way he said he couldn't see the ball properly.
Yeah. Well, it has been a brutally hot day. And unfortunately, if you're a professional tennis player, you occasionally have got to go and deal with those conditions. It is the same for your opponent.
Can we just dip Stefan into court four just before we go to Philippe Chatrier? Because this could
Marcus be finishing? Because Francisco Cerúndolo, 25th seed, is serving for the match after 3 hours and 36.
Yeah, he has had at least one match point in this game. 5-4 and deuce, and you heard the call. And De Sanchclou going across court on his backhand and just missing. Some wonderful singing to accompany the conclusion of this match on court 4. Cerúndolo to the backhand and then thumps a forehand down the middle of the court. High ball from Botic, as I'm going to call him during play-by-play. Now he's on his double hander. Deep, good depth from Botic. The inside-out forehand from Cerúndolo. Botic was just playing with the lines a little bit, and finally, of his back.